Okay.
Keep it up, right. So we were already kind of discussing a little bit the first question.
Give people introduction, yeah.
So the introduction is if you look at the Gemara, right? It kind of pashtus, it sounds, I mean, there's kind of different psukim, yeah, brought in the Gemara, and also, you know, if you look below, yeah, there's actually three psukim brought. There's Yoshua Dalid Hay, that's the first one, and then there's Yoshua Dalid Gimel, right? If you look at the OCS at the bottom, that's Vav, I've got Vav Ches, and then Kaf later on is Yoshua Dalid Tes, yeah? So basically, if you kind of go through those, yeah, the first one it says, right? Vayomer lahem Yoshua ivru lifnei Aaron Hashem Elokeichem el tocha yarden v'heirimu lachem ish eben achas al shichmo l'mispar shivtei b'nei Yisrael. So you lift up stones, yeah? That's the first pasuk kind of brought in the order here. Now, the pasuk before that then said, I'm just going to read the pasuk, but savo samle mo, su lachem mizeh mitocha yarden mimitzav ragle ha-kohanim. So take from the Jordan, from where the Kohanim are standing, yeah? Right. And then take them with you. And this is clear, this one, yeah? Then you're going to end up placing them in Gilgal.
That was the first pasuk or the second pasuk?
It's actually the first pasuk, but it's the second pasuk brought in the Gemara.
Yeah.
That's Gimel.
In Yeshua,
it's the first pasuk. Correct? And then there's a pasuk which comes later on that says Ushtemisrei Avanim Hekim Yoshua Betocha Yarden. Right. So this is a later pasuk. It says that he put 12 stones inside the Yarden Tachat Matzei Ragle HaKohanim, where the Kohanim was standing. So this is a bit confusing here because there's two references to where the Kohanim was standing. So basically, in terms of our Gemara though, yeah. It first brings the pasuk and says Herim lachem even achas, yeah, you know, according to the Shiftei Yisrael, yeah, and the question is, you know, what is that? So when we were learning it, we were learning that that's basically the same ones as referred to that last thing in terms of the ones that they placed, you know, where the Kohanim was standing, yeah, inside the river, and those would be kind of an oath. Those would be kind of like a remembrance of the crossing of the Jordan, right. And then kind of the way we learned it, yeah, was that then there was a second set that they actually took from the Jordan and they made a mizbeach with it and they wrote and then they brought it to Gilgal. Yeah.
Right.
So basically, I was learning with Peretz, and he kind of what triggered that, I think, was that he was a bit bothered anyway, that, you know, well, how could it be, you know, this oath that you leave it in the Jordan, who's gonna see it and whatever.
Right,
yeah. So Peretz was more inclined to say, you know what, no, in terms of here, the ones Herimu, the ones they lifted up, yeah, maybe they're just the same ones, that the oath was really the ones they brought to Gilgal.
So that was in Gilgal.
Right? And the truth was, we then saw in the back, and we saw the Maharsha actually kind of says that. He says that, you know, he thinks they're just kind of all really one set, yeah? But the question is a bit like, you know, what does Rashi mean? So I quoted this Rashi here on the sheets, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So Rashi says, right, this is kind of the first one. It says, Herimu lachem, right? That's kind of the first
line over here.
Pasuk, yeah. Right. You've got the Herim Lachem, yeah, if you want to sit inside. Mm-hmm. So Rashi says, right, Heim ha'avanim shehekimu tachat matzav raglei ha'kohanim zichron yosiman levanim she'abru avos es yardein. And the truth is, this Rashi itself is a little bit ambiguous itself.
Right, because it sounded like those ones, right?
Right, so right. This is, so Peretz and I, we kind of had a little bit of an argument about this, yeah? And it turns out that the Acharonim also kind of seem to argue on this, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, the way Peretz was reading it was, yeah? Peretz, correct me if I'm wrong, yeah? But he was understanding, yeah, that when it says lift these, yeah? So then it says, right, these were the stones, right? Shehekimu tachat matzei raglei ha-kohanim, right? That they'd been kind of placed under the feet of the Kohanim. And those were the ones you meant to lift up.
And then
they end up being a zikaron liyosimon, right? That's the way Ezra was reading it.
Right.
I wasn't reading it that way, yeah?
Right.
I was reading that you know, that the whole thing is looking back and saying, no, these are the ones that were ended up being placed tachat regle going in the river and left in the river. Yeah.
Right.
So if you look at the, so basically, it turns out that the marshal, yeah, later on, it's actually one on Lamed Hay, actually understood the Rashi like parrots, basically. Okay. But the Rishash, I mean, I couldn't remember Rishash because he quotes everyone. So it's one thing that quotes everyone. So let's, if we look at the Rishash inside, yeah? So that's the second source down. He says, V'anirim perish Rashi kan, t'hai v'hei rimu, einenu mimit savragle hakanim. Don't kind of read it, he's coming lafuki that, yeah? Don't read it, they took it from, right, the where the Kohenim was standing. El adraba, right? But not on the contrary. Sivum laharim makom acher, right? They told him to take it from another place, right? Bichdei lasitam tachas matzei raglehem, in order then to go and place it under where the Kohenim was standing. Kunim mefarish lekamim pasuk tes, as we say later on. That's the last one I read,
right,
where it's at, kind of, it's clear that there was some left b'tocha yardei tachat matzei raglei kohanim.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying really this Rashi is just kind of fitting it together and kind of coming to allude to pasuk tes. Shuv heir Hashem esenai, right? Hashem enlightened my eyes. Where I eat it sefta, right? To simahachi. Alhad heirimu, that on this very pasuk pinachtem osam tachas matzav regeo kahanim, right? And it says mefurish, he ends up saying, and they placed it, this pasuk heirimu, they end up placing it where the kahanim was standing. Hari mefurish commercial kasuk,
rather than
taking it from there, they placed it there, right? Heirimu,
right,
take it from elsewhere and place it tachas matzav regeo kahanim. So that's exactly, he says, that's exactly that I was understanding. And therefore it comes out, like we were originally learning, according to Rishash, that there were two groups of stones. Aleph ba'avanim halalu, right, k'desiv hacha, right? But Aleph in another set, ba'avnei hamalon, right, the hotel stones, where they ended up sleeping. K'mavua b'sofa perek. V'ye perush v'yasu v'chuli, k'ashe siva Yoshua b'pasuk ches, right, al elu havanim. Hashem didn't actually command it to do that, but Yeshua just did that. Okay, fine. So the command, I think, wait a sec, was on the one that they took from Mimatza Ragle Akhanim and then placed in Gilgal. So the one, I think, one of them was commanded by Hashem, one of them Yeshua did, it seems.
Okay. So the end of the Gemara, though, when it says that these should be a sign, is it which ones that's talking about?
Which set of stones?
Which sets of stones?
The end of the Gemara, let me have a look. Well, I mean, it seems to be saying here, I mean, according to him, it would be that it seems to be the first set, no? The set that they ended up placing Mitoch Ragle HaKol.
Okay, that's very clear.
Yeah, it seems to be that, no?
Okay.
According to Rishash's understanding.
Okay.
V'zeh delo, right, K'chidosh HaGadus, and that's not like the Marashah that we mentioned,
right.
Yeah? U'kamaral L'kaman, yeah, Marashah L'kaman, and also the Marashah later on, right? B'rashi di b'matzka b'gulgul. And basically, by the way, the Marashah himself, and the reason why he quotes that, he says he seemed to understand the Rashi like parrots, but he left later on Lamed Hay, which is probably also where you're coming from. It says Mefurish, they're two sets of stones. So that's why the Marshal there, actually,
yeah,
that's probably where you were coming from as well.
Okay.
Marshal over there, later, which we'll see later on, seems to say there's two sets of stones, and then he asks on a Tamir on Rashi, how come Rashi seemed to put them together, basically.
Okay.
That's so he was saying that Rashi like parrots, but he was kind of asking on him later on the
Okay.
And okay, bottom line.
Yeah.
So it's more complicated. There's the stones in the encampment and the stones in Harebo. Three sets now, we're getting a lot of stones here.
Stones in the camp.
No. So that says the Gemara later on. They brought it from Harebo and then
two to Malon. Yeah, there were just two sets.
From the camp to Harebo.
Yeah.
No, the opposite.
No, because they went to the camp afterwards.
Then,
it was a busy day, says the Sefta. Very busy day.
And from there we get the Rolling Stones.
Right. I thought, so it was Kate's had a regal was the Rolling Stones.
Right? Yeah.
It's serious. Anyway, Sachakor, basically, I think where we are it's a bit of a move up. From the Pesukim and even understanding Rashi's a bit, but I think the simplest way to understand things is that they're two sets of stones, but it's good to know that kind of, there's a bit of discussion about that. Okay, Seder. Now, next one, this is just an important point in Rashi, yeah, which hopefully like people picked up on, right? So it says, so we talked about the poles that the spies carried, these huge mm-hmm. clusters of grapes, right? Mm-hmm. And it says, shtei matos, yeah? And basically, we learn out from that, right, that there was actually two poles, right? And therefore, kind of four people carrying that. And then on that, it says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Turtani v'Turtani d'Turtani, right? So it was kind of, they were carrying and they were carrying the carrying, yeah, loads and loads and loads, yeah? Haketzad, how does that turn out? Shmona Nasu Eshkol. There was actually eight people carrying, yeah? So hopefully people thought to themselves, well, wait a sec, where does he get that from? No, mm-hmm. obvious question, yeah? We can see the Gemara says, yeah, that they had, you know, the darshan is the fact that there was two poles, and therefore if there was two poles and each pole had two people, that was four, mm-hmm. and he kind of just doubles it up.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that come from? So Rashi Mefush addresses this, and it's kind of one of the times when it's good just to see inside of the Rashi.
Mm-hmm.
So I quote to the relevant part here, so this is number two, right? So he says, Mimasui, Mimasu Tachas Masui, right? So that's how he translates, like a load and a load underneath a load. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Turtani, but Turtani, Turtani. Shatachdonim, Misai, Mimisa Elyonim. Oh, by the way, this is also Rashi expresses his sheet in terms of how these poles worked. Yeah, there was kind of ones like pole carriers underneath, there was the underneath poles, and they were supporting the poles that were on top. Yeah, B'kol Echad Hayushtei Matos, yeah, Matos, right? And each one, so there was basically two sets of two poles, yeah? Ketzad, how does this work out? Shtei motos holchim ze'et zel ze, right? Aba nosim osam. So you have two sets of poles which are kind of going parallel, and you have four people carrying them. Ushtei motos acherim, right? And then you've got two other poles, right? Aba b'nei adam, right, nosim osam, and another four people carrying them. Behaim, but al-chason, yeah, mitacha shnim ha'elyonim, and those extra set of two poles were diagonal, right? So kind of if you imagine you have like need lots of pens, yeah. Okay, I've got a few pens here, right? Ready? Right, so you've got two sets of poles on top, yeah. Right? And then I think according to Rashi, you've got let's see if I can do this. Well. You see this?
You did it like that. They didn't do it like that though.
No.
They did it like that.
Yeah, it's more like a hedge. It's like a hedge.
Well, like this.
That's how they did it.
So Art Scroll wanted to learn it like that.
Right.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was learning a bit more like that. Okay.
Right, yeah, I know, I also But not like the picture on the side of the people who've got the
Not like the picture on the side, yeah.
Right.
It's interesting to see. Okay, but anyway, so Rebbe Yitzchak, right, now this is the important part, right? Rebbe Yitzchak, well, that was all important, but
yeah.
Love Mikrash Mielei. So where does he learn this from? So he doesn't learn it from the Pasuk, yeah? Because we said, in the Pasuk, it just talks about two poles, yeah? Ella de Peshitele, right? But it was obvious to him, the Rimon Vateina Sagi Bishnaim, that obviously you don't need more than two people to carry, a Rimon, a pomegranate, and a Teina, right, and a fig, mm-hmm. yeah? Yeshua v'Kalev lo nasu klum, right? And it's also kind of pashut to him, right? Apparently, that Yeshua and Kalev wouldn't have carried everything, right? So pashut hu lo tim na l'eshkol. So therefore, kind of by default, he had a set of assumptions, right? Effectively, and he understood that everyone must have carried something. Yeshua and Kalev didn't, yeah. And you only needed two people to carry the rimon and the teina. So that leaves eight, basically, right? It's like maths, right? The im love midrasha risho, right, hamlandenu, right, to love motechad, right, and we have to have a progression here. If it wasn't for the first drasha that tells us that it wasn't just one pole, right, kamakra lo ha'ini yodim, right, lechaven shmona b'nei adam, right, lemaso, he wouldn't have been able to work out how on earth you ever get eight there, right, ela dishmiina minei dishtei motos hayu. But once we learn that there's two poles, right? Once he sees there's two poles, he's able to say, okay, that kind of double that, yeah?
Right?
The two poles are like on thing, and there's two poles underneath. But without that, he would have never been able to. It's kind of like a progression in the Gemara.
Right.
But basically, he puts together the drasha that ends up being two poles with the assumption there must have been eight. So therefore, two with two more kind of helping them carry on. That's the kind of progression.
It doesn't say why it has to have been under. It could have been four parallel poles.
Well, we see there's tons of it. Yeah, it could have been full parallel. Yeah, Nachon, yeah, it could have been full parallel. But I guess if there was full parallel, I'm thinking that, you know, he should have said, he should have more said full poles, no? Because the fact that...
It's on the same level.
The fact that, yeah, because if it's on the same level, then I suppose the fact that it says kind of two things, it's really two with two supporting it. And maybe that's easier easier for to fit it into Pesukim.
I can't remember the figures now, but actually there is a like a Midrash or something has like different numbering system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It's also more harder to figure out when they did that how all of them were actually carrying it.
Right.
Because the bottom ones were carrying the world, what were the top ones carrying?
Uh-huh. Well, I suppose that no, because they, I suppose they were also, they were in terms of Rashi's thing. I suppose it's kind of they're supporting each other, but
There's also for me this is cash on the managers, because that was the problem. Some people believe if they're just like standing around telling you what to do, they're also doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems.
You mean they could have been like
they could have been like pointing and saying, you know, go this way, go that way, and they could have also been considered doing it. But
they could have crossed.
We don't hope that.
Well, one of the things
crossed them the hash, so all of them are actually supporting.
Oh, you mean like underneath, like put it underneath kind of thing?
Like two there and two there, you know, like when you close the box.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, exactly. Very good. Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So the next one, it's kind of a Pasha Peshat one, actually, Tosis brings out, yeah? Remember we talked about the different encampments, yeah? Like how they crossed the Jordan, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, Chadam al-Debe Rebbe Yehuda, is it? Yeah. Right? Chanyasan Abru, right? Mm-hmm. That it crossed in the formation, right? Mm-hmm. And then Ledivrei Rebbe Eliezer ben Shimon b'Zeachazeh Avru. They crossed one by one, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So Tosis is kind of bothered a bit, yeah? Because originally we had like, when they had their original discussion, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Eliezer ben Shimon, yeah? So Rabbi Eliezer ben Shimon turned around and said, wait a sec, how could it be only 12 high, yeah?
Right.
Because, like, obviously water goes faster than people. So, fine, the people would take 12 to cross, yeah? And the water, in that same period of time, if you only have 12 up, so it should have gone up and then spilt down. That was his timer. But Tosfos, what he's bothered by is, well, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Shimon, anyway, they went one by one. So anyway, forget the water going faster, even if water kind of went at the same speed. If they went one by one, they only went 12 up, right? Then obviously you would have spilt over because there would be a massive, massive line, far more than 12.
Right.
Right.
So it's a kasha on that explanation.
Yeah, it's a kasha on that explanation. Right. So basically the kids, I won't mean this up, but Tosfos just basically said, in Hachanami, but they're arguing on two levels. It's kind of more like, even according to you, they go across, right, in formation, still, you know, that it should have, the water should have spilled over. So it's kind of like two levels, kind of one of those classic two levels of argument.
Okay.
Now next question. I think people love this, and it's all kind of like fires the imagination. This one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But so the Gemara says, "Amar Reish Lakish, Shlach Chaladatcha." Right. So this is the spies, yeah.
Right.
So this is the famous Rashi, right, on Chumash, yeah, in Bamidbar, right. So it says, "Shlach Lacha." What's to you? It means, you know, ledatcha, for your wishes, kind of your opinion, yeah, right. V'chi Adam, right? Zebra chelik ra, yeah. And would a person choose a bad chelik? And this person is referring l'chora to Hashem, yeah. So we're gonna see one of the questions is, what does that mean, chelik ra? Choosing a bad chelik. How does that fit into this pshat? The point is, Hashem saying, I don't want this. Because would Hashem choose a bad, and we're explaining, it must be Hashem didn't want this, because would Hashem choose a bad chelek?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Yeah. And then the next sentence, and this is also Reish Lakish. I'm a Reish Lakish. Be'enai, v'lo be'enav. Like Moshe says, it was good in my eyes, but not Hashem's eyes.
Right.
Yeah. So now, one of the obvious questions, and people ask it later on, but I think this is more bolet in a sense, because it's both of these members are Reish Lakish, which is that if the first one shows us that Hashem didn't want it, but the second one shows that it was good in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes, so why is Moshe Rabbeinu happy with something that Hashem is not happy with?
That Hashem didn't want it.
Well, it says,
he says, I'm not telling you to do it. He didn't say it.
Didn't say
don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. He said, I'm not telling you to do it. I mean, according to Rashi, he says, but Lachora, it's obviously that Hashem, there's something about it that was not good. But I'm saying that in so far as, you know, why is it their discord? You'll have to admit, there's at least a discord between Moshe Rabbeinu, who seems as being really good, Tov Be'enai, but it's not Tov in Hashem's eyes. How could Moshe have been? Okay, you're saying what he didn't realize that he was bad in Hashem's eyes.
At the time, obviously, he didn't know it was wrong.
Okay, well, I mean, Lachora, you have to say something like that. I'm saying, but this is better than the question I'm trying to bring up. What's going on here in terms of, yeah? Fine, we understand that,
right.
the Jews were doing something not good, yeah, in terms of Klal Yisrael, yeah? Right. But then what's going on between Moshe Rabbeinu, who seems to say it was good, and yet it turns out that either it wasn't good, or at least Hashem said it.
Well, Hashem didn't agree with him afterwards, because sometimes we say, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu has some ideas, and then Hashem was masking El Daito afterwards.
Right.
This is not one of the cases.
Okay, so there seems to be a bit of a discord between. And people asked from later on by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yeshua a bracha, right?
I don't know whether this
for me is a little bit more pressing because it's the same person. Sometimes you can have different midrashim. They don't always need to shtim all the midrashim, by the way.
Right.
But whatever. I mean,
right, yeah.
So let's have a look at in terms of just this question. Sometimes. Right. Kind of out of this comes on. So the first, again, the question is, what's Chelek Ra? So if you look at Rashi carefully, he says, right, Ani Eini Mitzavo Ischa, right? Ani Eini Ma'akev Al Yadcha, right? So Rashi explains, Hashem is saying, listen, I'm not going to command you, but I'm not going to hold you back. That's what it means. Kind of like, a bit like Peretz says, kind of ambivalent,
right.
Yeah?
Right.
Like, you know, right. I'm not commanding you, but if you want to do it, then you go ahead. It's on your head.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he explains, Klum Yesh Adam, right? Okay, is this Klomar? Was this meant to be a Klomar? Is there a typo here in Rashi?
Probably.
Klomar, yeah. Klomar, sorry. Right, Klomar. Im Hashem Tziva, Klum Yeh Omer Lo La'asos Devasha Sofa Levo Tzedei Tchala. So, i.e., Hashem wouldn't have... Chelek Ra means, he's talking about the spies. Obviously, Hashem wouldn't have chosen something that was going to come to... To when Hashem knows it's going to end up being bad. Mm-hmm. So that's what it means. A person doesn't choose a chelek ra. If Hashem knew these spies were bad, he wouldn't have chosen to do that. Right. That's Rashi's pshat. Mm-hmm. So it says the Marasha, yeah? Marasha says, Ayin peirush Rashi hu dochek. Dachuk, yeah? That he doesn't like that. But niru lefaresh, right? So it says the Marasha, this is how I'd explain it. To reselema, dohaila bezer das HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'id kava aleha she'itova, right? That Hashem has already said, this is on the classic Peshatim actually, that the Eretz Yisrael is good, yeah? And they should have known in that. So you're going to see that when it says Chelek Ra, the Marashah's Peshat and Chelek Ra is going to be Eretz Yisrael itself.
Ah, beautiful.
Right? Hashem wouldn't have chosen a Chelek Ra. Hashem wouldn't tell Klal Yisrael, I've chosen this for you, yeah? Hashem wouldn't have chosen a bad Chelek.
Right.
Very
good.
Bekach, Medech Mashal Adam V'chuli, Bo Relo Chelek Ra, La'atzmo, because King, right, Habora, Shabirelo, right, Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, Hashem has chosen Eretz Yisrael, or you wouldn't choose a Chelek Ra. Commercial Eretz Hashem, Hashem Elokecha, Doresh Osa, right? Hashem says Hashem's special land. The Kavai Richa Haramban, now he's going to lean on the Ramban, is there? Kevan de Das Moshe Haya, Gam Kain, Lishloch Miraglim, right? Since Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to send Miraglim, Machatu, right? What's the sin? Hey, Yoter, right, Mimenu. How did the Jewish people sin any more than Moshe Rabbeinu? The Tochan and the Barim, right? Ki gam be mochamas elu, shchai lehem tishuas Hashem, halchu lefi ateva ketzas. Right? And basically, the general gist is, what?
To check it out first.
Right, exactly, yeah? Sending spies in itself is not a bad thing, yeah? This is a classic pshat, right?
Yeah.
That, so Be'etzem, yeah? It made sense to Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to do a bit al derech teva, right? The gam kan hiskim hakadosh baruch hu in Moshe ishloch beis anashim, right? And this is a bit the kind of where it comes a bit more subtle.
Yeah.
Hashem also agreed, yeah, in a chanami, send two people, yeah. If you're going to send spies, send two people, right? Right. Kemoshe kav shalch lecha, right? Anashim, and that's what it means, anashim, yeah. The rov miut shnayim. When it says anashim plural, generally we talk about the stamus of anashim is two people, yeah? Exactly as Gil said, as Yeshua said. Yeshua sent two people. Aval Yisrael lo hai kvanasim b'kach. But Bnei Yisrael didn't, that wasn't their intent, right? Ela leda he'im tova imra. But Be'etzem, they weren't sending spies in order to work out the best way to conquer the land, Alpi Teva, which is appropriate. They wanted to know, is this land good or not, yeah? Moshe lo yada es kvanasim. Zehara. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't aware of their true intent. Right? And that's why he was good in his eyes. And the same way as in there's an aspect of sending Miraglim that Hashem Yeshua. Himself and Yeshua also. Hashem right. himself would have agreed to him. That's right. what was good. That was why it was good in Moshe's eyes. Like hara. So he says, yeah, send according to your das, i.e. that part is a good thing to do. Yeah? According to your das, way you think, yeah, that go ahead good. And do that. Yeah, that's good. Lo dati, right? But not according to my knowledge, i.e. das means my knowledge. Ki Hashem he sees the hearts. She called Kamanasan the Busha Seyrich Israel. Right, they didn't believe Hashem. And this explains, since they wanted to check out the land, they weren't sure whether it was good or not. So that we're not going to believe Stam to Regalim. It has to be one from our. We need a representative from our Shevet. Yeah, Kilorim Minlo. Right, Lizer. Right, so Amalei Ishechad Lamate Abosav Tishluchu Kol Nasi Bechuli Haynu Lefi Das Kol Nasi Beshevet Behem. Below Cain Das Dati, Rak Bebeis Anashim Kasherim, mostly Shlichus Yeshua, as you said, Bekala Havin. So basically, what it turns out is it's kind of like there's a bit more of a complicated picture, which at least explains why it was good right. in Moshe's eyes. Genuinely, right. he was aligned with Hashem. He just right. he didn't see into the hearts of the people.
Right.
It could have been. I was thinking a bit that it could have been though. You could fit this a bit with the Peshat later on that he kind of sensed that there might have been a bad Kavana. Maybe that's why he also davened for Yeshua. It could right. be that even Moshe Rabbeinu right. was aware that there might be something bad going on. But at least there was a side to the spies which was proper. Yeah, that's the point here.
Right.
That's why he was good in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes. Now the Riyath, okay, see that in your own time, the Riyath. Last question, yeah? Number five, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll finish with this, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
This is a question I was bothered by, yeah? It's obvious, an obvious question. So Amalehem, right? So this was on Kalev. So he mm-hmm. said, yeah, Avosai, right? Bikshu alai, Rachamim. My forefathers, please request for me Rachamim, she'enatzel, right, me'etzas ha'meraglim, that I should right. be saved from sinning, yeah, from the bad plot of the meraglim.
Right.
So my question was an obvious question, yeah? Like, how can you, like, daven that you shouldn't sin? Like, obviously, that's something that you're meant to be doing yourself, right? Like, not singing, right? Like, you can't, how can you daven not sin, yeah? So, I mean, it's kind of an obvious answer the parents obviously immediately told me, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was worth speaking out, yeah? So so the Ein Yaakov here, this is the first one, he says, even though that everything is in the hands of heaven except Yerushalayim, which means, Lahore, he's bothered by my question, yeah? You can't daven for your Bechira, for Yerushalayim, right? That's in your hands. Right? If you come to try to do a good thing, if you express your intent, this is for me a very comforting thought, yeah? If you show that you want to actually do the right thing, then you get help for that. And since he that was his bechira was to request help that he should be saved, right? So you not semahem yisuuchu min hashemayim lekach. So it's not a stirrup. That's him, you do have the choice, but sometimes, you know, your choice is expressed in terms of your ratzon and your davening. So that's why we say every day, yeah? We say, like, we daven, you know, please save ourselves from doing avarice. That itself is an expression of bechira. Anyway, I'm not going to read it. There's a Ben Hoda, a kishmak, a little twist on this if you want to read in your own time. But, yeah, that's an important klal for when we're davening. We can daven to... And maybe, I don't know, we were talking about parents. Also, maybe for others, I don't know how that works. It's a bit more complicated, right? Davening for other people. Certainly for yourself, you can daven to not to do avarice. And that's consistent with this concept that it's still in your bechira, but that's your expression of bechira, basically.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.